Welcome to Life Together, a podcast for Gresham Bible Church, where we exist to glorify God in being disciples who make disciples of all people through the transforming power of the gospel. Our discussion for this episode is about our church's fifth distinctive, which is we do life together, not alone. Todd and I discuss the importance and goodness of this distinctive in the life of the local church, and we discuss some of the implications for each of us personally and for us corporately. I trust you'll find this discussion helpful as we consider what it means that God saved us into his family and our lives as Christians are to reflect that reality. Bible Church, on this week's exciting, hard-hitting episode of Life Together, we're going to keep working through our church's distinctives. And so I just want to jump right in because this is kind of like a bigger conversation. We're just going to scratch the surface on it. But again, by way of reminder, we want to kind of like just talk through our distinctives. There was a sermon series on this. People can go back and listen to it. But just bounce around our distinctives. What do we mean by it? Why do they matter in the life of our church? And so this week, we're on our fifth distinctive, and that is we do life together, not alone. So let me read it, and then we'll just jump right in. So we do life together, not alone. We deeply believe that the church is a family and not an event we attend. Our Christian faith is personal, but it is never private. Our abiding in Jesus, or lack thereof, always has a ripple effect on the community at large. God has saved us into his family, and our call is now to live out the one another commands in the New Testament for the glory of God. This distinctive is why we are committed to practicing meaningful church membership. This is also why we are relationally driven in our practices. So later we'll talk about church membership in a follow-up podcast episode on that, kind of related to our distinctive. But we do life together, not alone. Maybe let's like empty our pockets on the table right now. What are some implications of that that just come to mind, and then we'll dive in? Implications of we do life together, not alone. Like, what's that assuming and implying? Thoughts?
Well, I suppose there has to be a kind of vulnerability that accompanies life together. We have to inconvenience ourselves to get to know others, but also allow others to get to know us.
Yeah.
We're going to have to spend time together, probably outside the time of the worship service, but certainly not missing the time of the worship service. I think I just snagged all the low-hanging fruit right there. So I'll leave the harder ones for someone else. Often.
Yeah. Yeah. Jordan, looked like you wanted to say something.
Yeah. I mean, it would assume if you're going to do life together that you have to be with people. And if we're saying this in the context of the church community, yeah, you probably need to regularly be at church as a way to get to know people there. But the goal would not be, as it says in our distinctive, if it's not just a Sunday event, but that you start to find the people that you're in similar walks of life with, similar interests, studying the same book, whatever it might be, going through the same hardship, that then that carries itself over to the day to day. You know, as guys who work for a church or a seminary slash church, we're like always in a Christian circle. Yeah. And so it's hard for me to imagine all of my friends not being involved in church and Christians and stuff. And so, I mean, Mike, you and I have even had conversations, times of like when people are going through really hard things in life, medical emergencies and, or whatever. And like our church just steps up and just, okay, well, we'll provide meals for the next 2 weeks. And, oh, there's 80 people praying for that person this week, that we've often commented to each other, like, I don't get how people don't have a church. Like, how do you get through life unless you have this?
Yeah.
Amen. And so, I think even that aspect of life, of just knowing there's people, because we're vulnerable, like Todd said, that we can share our good things, our things to rejoice about, and then the hard things, and know that there are people that genuinely care about what's happening in our life and will be involved in supporting or helping, whatever it might be.
Yeah.
That that kind of encompasses that life together aspect to me.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Yeah. There's so many places we could go, but just thinking of like, our distinctive, which again is like the floor, something that should be true of us, but it's also aspirational, something mm-hmm. we're always growing in, but it implies that, when you become a Christian, God is calling you into something that's his family. That's the church. So it kind of implies, normatively speaking, if you're a Christian, you should be plugged into a church. Mm-hmm. Like Christianity is not a solo mission. It's meant to happen, with other people. Mm-hmm. Yeah. In our distinctive, we refer to Colossians 3 and Hebrews 10, and then, you know, John 13 comes to mind, 34 and 35, where Jesus says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." So thinking that, implying it's not just me, that in order for that to have any sort of meaning, I have to be one anothering people in my life. So yeah. How about, again, lots we could say. We're going to talk about maybe some healthy and unhealthy things under the surface of this distinctive. But first, what comes to mind? So like, if this is true of GBC right now, what are the opportunities and challenges in front of us with this distinctive? So how does doing life together, not alone, how does it adorn the gospel and glorify God? So like what comes to mind, maybe from some non-Christian friends or our community? Hey, if this is true of GBC, therefore it means this. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, why does this matter?
I mean, I would say as someone who's involved with the students at our church, like going to any high school, middle school event is such a fun thing to do because, you know, I'm going to maybe see one or two particular students, but I'm often running into 20 to 30 people that I know that are there supporting their own kids or just supporting that student or whatever. And so, you know, the way people faces light up when we see each other sitting together, catching up on life, that unity, the fact that we're all cheering and supporting the same person. It's definitely something that I notice that people who don't go to our church or other churches notice about this weird group of people that are all together, you know, like, or, you know, people asking me or other youth leaders will come and attend stuff like, "Oh, which kid is yours?" Like, well, I guess that's our kid, quotation marks, mm-hmm. because they come to our church, but no, that these, none of these are my blood kids. Like, "Oh, well, that's cool that you're out here." And so it kind of goes to some John 13 stuff there, just loving each other, being involved of just the things that you're interested in, we want to be interested in. And I think the way we interact together starts to show people around us that there's something different about us. Hopefully we're not people that are, you know, cursing out the referees for bad calls and screaming about playing time and throwing chairs onto the middle of the court or whatever. And I think GBC does a good job. I've been told I have comments to the refs. They're just helpful. I'm just trying to help of that you missed that call. I'm not mad. I just want to, you know, but I think that's just an interesting way. I mean, that's just doing regular life or, Silk Coffee Shop. I feel like every time I go to Silk Coffee Shop now, you guys should go to Silk. I see five people I know, and the way that, you know, you'll greet and see someone, the other people that are there are like, how do all these people know each other? Like there is something interesting about Gresham East County of whether we're all at GBC or just we're plugged into other churches. The Christian community kind of knows each other.
Yeah.
And I think other people are notice that and are aware of that. And so that, I think that lends itself opportunities of just wow, those people really love and care about each other. What do they have going on? And do we take advantage of that would then kind of be the next step of inviting people to be a part of those things we have going on.
Yeah, that's good. How about like just connecting dots on here, and we're kind of free forming this episode, so it is more conversational, but, like sometimes if someone hears this or unintentionally, you can start to like, all right, we're going to build higher fences, holy huddle, just about us, not have any of the mess outside of the world come in to impact this togetherness, this community. But the Bible would say, no, then you're misunderstanding what we're talking about, Christian community. So maybe help us as GBC think this through and assume that we see it rightly, why does our unity, our community together as a local church, matter for the sake of mission and advancing the gospel too? Mm. Like what comes to mind that way?
Well, I don't think that Christ came to save individuals in the abstract. He didn't come to just make their individual lives better. So that we can accessorize our Christianity, you know, add a little Jesus to make it ever so much more so. That's not what's going on. You see from the beginning that God is relational within Himself, Father, Son, Spirit. He creates humans in His own image. Part of that is that we have this capacity for relationship, and because unlike the triune God, we cannot meet that relationality within ourselves. We need other people for it, but God designed us for that. It's a good thing. And so when he saved us not just from ourselves and from the wrath of God, but he saved us to something. Yep. And that plan is the church. There is something about what God is doing in the church now that gives people, I think, a picture of what human destiny was always supposed to be, where we live in harmony with our Creator. We live in harmony with each other, probably live in harmony with ourselves as individually as well. We see this with what you noted in John 13. We see it in Jesus' high priestly prayer, where he prays that we, the church, would be unified. And when the world sees that unity, they'll know that God the Father sent Jesus Christ. That basically what he's saying is that this whole thing is true, right? And so there should be something very attractive about a church that cares for each other. And I do think that's primarily what John 13 is about, and that was John 17 is about. But then that love for each other, it spills out. Mm-hmm. It spills out into the world where we are. We're certainly not the saviors of the world, right?
That's praise God
Jesus
for that.
Christ. Yeah. But from a mission perspective, I think that we were saved for the world. That we would be ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we would herald and preach and proclaim this great gospel truth, both with our words. Certainly that's what preaching and proclaiming and heralding are, but we would do that with the way that we live and the way that we care for one another. And I don't, from a mission standpoint, I really don't think that the world can duplicate what Jesus Christ does in the church with people. I think the world are kind of like Moses's magicians Pharaoh's magicians, where they can do a few things like, hey, we're really good at organizing people around their niche special interests, but getting people from diverse backgrounds and ethnicities and interests and ages and having them be united the way that the church is supposed to be united, that is not something that the world can duplicate. Mm-hmm. And I think just like Pharaoh's magicians are like, we can't do this.
Yes.
This is totally legit. It's a God thing. I think that's what the world would have to say when they see us loving each other.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
It's good.
One of my favorite books, if people haven't read this, called Compelling Community, I think by Jamie Dunlap and Mark Dever, and he talks about that. That's kind of where I want to go with this conversation too. So I think a lot of us who've known Jesus for a while would say yes, like Francis Schaeffer talked about our love for one another in the local church and Big C Church. He calls it the final apologetic, so that the world will be like, yeah, there's something to this Jesus. Like, this is different. I have no other category than it's otherworldly. And yet, what we're going to talk about, I don't want this to sound like scolding in it or any way. I'm sure there's self-righteousness mixed into it, but as far as I know myself, that's not where I'm coming from. But a lot of like church growth strategies actually play on those levers that the world offers from a marketing standpoint. Those things are easy to replicate and measure. But how we are should be different in terms of our socioeconomic makeup, ethnicity. Like the only logical explanation is Jesus. So with that, like as a jumping off premise, maybe we could kind of consider and explore if we're going to live into this otherworldly unity, love for one another, And yet we live in a real world with its real presuppositions, like things we're floating on top of, and maybe we don't even know it in the currents of life. What are some of those things that are challenges and opportunities to actually having this be true in our lives individually and collectively? So I had a few things I've just been reflecting on this, but want to hear from you guys. Challenges and opportunities to actually, we do life together, not alone. Like opportunities in terms of adorning the gospel, challenges for us individually as members of GBC, and challenges for us collectively. Just certain things come to mind. We'll start big, small, everywhere in between.
We need to be careful that we're not consumeristic in how we approach church, which is, you briefly mentioned, of growth church strategies, use attractive base models. I was talking in our staff meeting this morning of the church my sister used to attend down in Houston was a big church plant off of First Baptist Houston. And it's okay that they did this. It's just very different than the Northwest. They had 100, 200 donuts every Sunday, and then people that would make you whatever coffee drink you want, not just a regular coffee cup.
That sounds amazing.
And then for Father's Day, they were having a giveaway for Traeger grills and lawnmowers. So they said, make sure you invite people because we're going to give these away. I was like, what? That's okay. That's a different model of church or whatever. And so we need to be careful. Yeah, we're not consumeristic of, they don't do the songs that I like, or they don't even, they meet in a cafeteria and I don't like that. I want to be in a carpeted building that doesn't have,
it feels like I'm in Napoleon Dynamite.
I don't want folding chairs, or the preacher's not funny enough. You know, like we can start to make it so we're looking for something that is feeding us, not in a gospel biblical oriented way, but just what do we like? You know, if someone asks how was church today, and your response is like, well, I only like two of the songs and the pastor just was really boring and didn't have any jokes, it's like, that's not what church is for. This isn't a performance. And so I think that's where we need to be careful right away. And then, you know, I guess people could have, hopefully we don't, but if we're walking into church thinking, I can't believe that person is coming to church because they're whatever, they're a quote unquote more of a sinner, or, oh, that's all the wealthy people go to church there. Like, that's not my kind of people. Like, then we're missing the unifying aspect of the gospel, makes it so that we can come from all backgrounds. So yeah, we need to be careful just where our heart is at when we walk into a church building of, What are the priorities of what you're looking for? Hopefully, I think GBC's on the right track of the Bible's the basis for all we do, you know, as our first distinctive or whatever. And as we're working through why we do what we do, we keep things simple, you know, like we have things that we do that we're not looking to attract you with flashing lights and, you know, high tech, whatever. And I mean, you guys are kind of funny, but you're not.
Say, Mike and I are hilarious, though.
At least we think we are.
Yeah, it's not straight stand-up routines, but yeah, you guys got good jokes every so often.
No, I appreciate bringing up consumerism.
Certainly not like Corey Johnson.
That's amazing. So shout out to Corey.
Yes.
Yeah, and I bet, like, I know in my heart, I'm even like nodding to you as you're saying that. Yeah. And I bet a lot of believers do. And again, church can look different. We're not bashing churches at all. But like, these are things we all breathe in and day out of consumerism, and it's inside of us, whether we want to acknowledge it or not. And so we have to account for that in how we experience church, how church experiences us, all those type of things. Todd, what things come to mind for you?
Well, I suppose one challenge would be, hey, I've read all those Bible verses that talk about, you know, I'm being saved into a church, which is the capital C, universal church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, of course, that manifests itself in local churches here and there. But I'm really, my primary loyalty is to the large church. And so I can just pick and choose from amongst local churches wherever I want to go. And then it's easy to get into that consumer mindset a bit. And of course, we're doing this podcast, and I'm guessing that like 99.99% or higher of the people listening to this podcast are all in at Gresham Bible Church and with no divided loyalties or anything like that. And so maybe some food for thought as you talk with other people out there is that the New Testament is very rarely, like those apostolic letters and documents are very rarely written to just like the universal church. Uh-huh. That's why we call it like the book of First and Second Corinthians, books of First and Second Corinthians, mm-hmm. or the book of Philippians or Colossians. There's a local church gathering in Philippi that needs to hear these particular words. And so we're not just saved into the universal church, but that, and it doesn't just happen to manifest itself in, you know, for your sake, there might be some local churches you can go to, but into a local church.
Yes.
And so let's be committed to that local church, because that's where we live out our Christian life. It's impossible to do all that the Bible wants us to do and desires for us to do and commands us to do and gifts us to do, isolated or picking and choosing from a variety of different churches.
Yeah.
But in order to do all the things that the Bible requires of us, desires of us, it takes a local church. And I think that's what you were talking about when you mentioned meaningful membership.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right.
Yep. So, yeah. I think that's so good. People can, we can all repeat certain verses, but then for it to actually mean anything, like the one another, honestly, I think it has to be like people's faces come into your minds. Those are real people in your life, to your point, Todd, that maybe you are inconvenienced by or vice versa to actually love one another. It implies friction even in the life of the local church. So you have to make some sort of commitment there. And I echo your comments. For anyone listening to this podcast, yeah, likely member of GBC, praise God for Gresham Bible Church, his kindness to us, the real gospel unity blesses me every single week. And so we just want to help our church continue to grow in these things. And what I'm going to bring up next is not like for maybe us right now, although it needs to be. We always need to, you know, look at ourselves in the mirror, but maybe even more so for the next generation of our church, Lord willing. So if we're going to make progress and we do life together, not alone, right? There's these big things. People have talked about the loneliness epidemic in our time, kind of how we mediate reality through screens and all of that. Mm-hmm. But I want to bring it down a little more, like the scope on Google Earth, zoom into Gresham, Oregon, maybe right around East County. Here's my premise. I want to talk to you guys about it. And I want GBC to hear this, think about it. And I'd love to have multiple conversations with people. Here's where I'm coming from. I've had conversations with multiple other local pastors, Gresham pastors, a lot have pastored in this area for a long time. I didn't grow up here. Neither did you two brothers.
Yep.
Pros and cons to that. But these other local pastors have said it is a real thing in the life of Christians in Gresham that are in churches. And they basically said about every 7 years, it's the year of Jubilee and people move between churches. And I heard that a few years ago as a member of GBC. I'm like, funny, not funny. I've had more and more conversations with other local brothers and it's real. It's true. Maybe it's 5.5 years. Maybe it's 8.7 years for some, but there is something about in this area. And again, I want to be really careful, trying to speak really graciously, but also very like clearly and kindly. It's like programmed into the culture in some kind of way, almost like you're supposed to move churches every few years. And then there's, again, healthy reasons to leave a local church. I'm not saying that, but what is it? Is it unique to Gresham, or is this just kind of the reality of church in the West and in the Northwest that every so many years people leave, have like this instinct or like impatience, like I'm supposed to move because I've been here for so long now. Just can we bounce that around a little bit together, maybe as outsiders, but to help us think about it as a church, because I bet if we're being really honest, some people in the life of our church may have that impulse because of how they grew up, their family of origin, or just like friends they have. Oh, I was at this church. Now I'm at this church. Again, there could be good reasons for that, but I'm not sure they're always healthy reasons.
Yeah.
Is it something around Gresham or am I crazy?
Yeah, I think it is. I've been at GBC for 5 years. I guess I'm guilty if I've done the 7 years of Jubilee. I was in Gresham for 7 years through college and post-college.
This is what we really wanted to talk about, Jordan.
This is all about me. Right. So I was in college in Salem, but I was driving up to Gresham to go to church and also doing youth ministry during the week. I was doing life together even from far away. That was a lot of driving. And then, so 7 years I was at Pathway Gresham. It used to be called Greater Gresham. And then was called to be a youth pastor in Kansas City. Mm-hmm. I was there for 7 years.
I didn't even know it was exactly seven. Okay.
And then felt called. I always knew I'd come back to the Northwest at some point. And after 7 years, God just worked things out that I didn't even necessarily apply for GBC. It just kind of came about that they're going to be looking for someone. And so started having conversations and sent my resume and boom, I've been here for 5 years and I'm not leaving in 2 years. It's not my plan unless you guys get rid of me. So anyways, I've been in Gresham for 12 years in two different stints. And I've noticed that as well. In the 5 years I've been here, there's been people that have left GBC. I think 99.99% of them for good reasons, but also some of them probably could have stayed at GBC if we were being honest, but for some reason they felt like they need to go to another church. There is something weird about Gresham of if you are in the Christian community in Gresham, you are like one degree of separation away from every other Christian in Gresham, which is interesting. And I think some of that comes from how much church hopping has happened over the last three decades in this area. So, I don't know. I don't know if like I can pinpoint or if the three of us can really pinpoint why that is. Cause I think the makeup of the three of us, at least, are like, if we're called to a church, we stay there. How long were you at Hinson? 20 years?
I was.
Yeah. I mean, that was like a big deal for you to go from Hinson to here. But, my hope would be that 20 years at a church is, if not longer than that, is normal. And it's not because we're trying to like, it's not like our teams of like, it's GBC versus the other churches. It's nothing about that at all. Yes. The Universal Capital C Church is very important to us. That's why we pray for other churches every single Sunday and have fellowship and partnerships with other churches in our area. But there is something about if you truly want to do life together with people in the church, that takes time. Yeah. 7 years might be when you're just getting down to the nitty gritty good stuff of like really getting to know people. And if there's new people that have transitioned in within, you know, they've only been here for 2 years and you're at the end of your 7 year stint, well, they're now missing out on getting to know and really bond with, you know, like the long-term foundational people of a church or whatever. Mm-hmm. So it can start to have ripple effects, repercussions. And I mean, you said it for Next Generation as a guy who my primary ministry is to the Next Generation. Yeah. I have some worries of if families are switching churches often of what that is instilling in our young people of, I don't know what they're going to be looking for when they're not with mom and dad, that they're off in college or post college, whenever they find their landing spot of where they're going to live, are they going to be tied to a church that this is where I can both be fed, but also serve as well? Or is it going to be, well, I don't know. They're starting to do a couple things I don't really like. Let's go find somewhere else. And if you do that, I think it starts to hamper your own spiritual growth in terms of how you're changing yourself, but then of how God can use you. Cause you're constantly having to reset. And then, you know, when you go to a new church, you might be like, well, we want to take a year break to just kind of, we want to kind of figure this place out before we start serving or whatever. And it's like, well, we're just like constantly putting on the back burner what God has called us to as a body of many parts. We all have roles to play. And if those parts keep moving, yes, God will fill the gaps. And he's done that at GBC faithfully, but have we been hampering the potential of ministry in Gresham because there is so much church swapping going on? I don't know.
I love the last question you left us with. And I'll say this for maybe those who are newer to GBC or may listen to this at some point, like Gresham Bible Church's heart is for other local churches. Mm-hmm. We pray for other churches by name. I praise God for other pastors in this area. I love those guys. We meet for coffee. We pray for each other. So I am not I pray coming from a heart of, you know, being divisive or our way is the best way or whatever, but it's not just me. Like I'm speaking for multiple brothers and churches in this area. Like it's something, and yeah. I'm sure it's reflective of something in greater culture. And so I just wanted to bring this up to like give people like room and permission to kind of reflect on that. And honestly, like come hang out with the three of us in the office or ask us out for coffee, like help us better understand it. And I want to reiterate, even though it's maybe like the 10th time I've said it, there are good and healthy reasons to move churches. Mm-hmm. So I'm not saying you never leave.
Yeah.
And let's be really honest that sometimes there are unhealthy ways.
Yeah.
And sometimes even ways that are just, again, in the air and we like start to become imprinted on us rather than are actually healthy from a biblical perspective. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Anything else? Maybe like observationally, maybe it's Gresham. Maybe you zoom out to the state of Oregon. But what are those things like if someone was going to plant a church here? What would you say? Hey, these are some things to be aware of in the microculture of this area that you might want to be aware of in terms of people rotating or moving churches, in terms of category stuff. Anything?
Well, I think there are good reasons to
Amen.
Leave a church, and I could throw out a few for them. So it, from a doctrine standpoint, there are certainly, you know, the taxonomies, there's doctrines to die for, and there are doctrines to divide over. And historically, the doctrines to die for of those have been those that are essential to the gospel, those things that you're not really even a Christian if you deny them. Doctrines to divide for would be, you know, certainly baptism and, you know, Pado versus Credo baptism, believer's baptism, or the sign gifts have been another. That by that I mean like tongues and prophecy and healings and that sort of thing. The role of women in ministry oftentimes has been a divide for in the church, and then so those are doctrinal. I think there's other times where you would leave because of an opportunity to use your gifts. We are gifted by the Holy Spirit to edify the body of Christ that manifests itself in a local body, but maybe you're like, I don't know, a nose and there's 27 other noses at the church you're at. But then you look at the church down the street that doctrinally lines up and there's no other noses there. And so, hey, I could be of great benefit to this church. And so things like that would be a good reason to go. You know, we want the relationships to run really deep in the church. But it's not a marriage where you're divorcing a church, right?
Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
So there's that. But I grant everything that you said here. I haven't seen anything like it before. Of course, I've been out of commission, right, for the last 20 years. I've been in one place.
Right.
And even though I visit a lot of churches, I'm not in a position to see the kind of dynamics. On the one hand, it's good that there's so many decent churches here in the Gresham area.
Absolutely.
That's
point.
Amazing. Amen. And that's a good thing. I do hope though that we can convince people to stay at GBC and to minister well and to become known and just to delight in a commitment to the local church. I'm talking too long, but I'll throw out one other benefit for
Please.
This kind of thing. It's so easy to have like your favorite preachers and teachers, and you know, you know, maybe you go to some church and they've got like an awesome this program or that program. You endure the teaching and preaching, thinking, well, you can always go online and find somebody who will feed you or whatever. But hey, my prayer for the people of GBC is that Well, I'll just put it this way. If people ask me, if they ask me, who is your favorite preacher? Who do you like to listen to? I will say immediately, it is Mike Dahl. Mm-hmm. And I like, and then it's Jordan and, mm-hmm. and Eric and, mm-hmm. and the people who yes. know me and are praying for me. And when they're crafting and writing the sermon, they're thinking about me.
Yeah, I love that.
That is irreplaceable. You cannot get that from an online mm-hmm. sermon. You can't get that from listening to someone on the web. Mm-hmm. So
that's amen, good, brother.
Amen. So stick it out and be known and plug in and
yeah. There's definitely other churches in Gresham that do each thing that we do better, you know, like,
oh, yeah.
There's churches that have better facilities or have,
are you sure?
Yeah. I'm going on a limb there. I'm sure there's churches with more talented musicians, even though we have incredibly talented musicians and better preaching and children's mm-hmm. ministry and youth ministry or whatever else. But
I think you lost me at facilities. Yeah. I'll grant you facilities. I'm not sure about the others though, but
this is not a, church is not meant to be a choose your own adventure, right? Yeah. It's not a buffet of we find what we want. And so even we talked before we started recording this of, you know, we see it like in youth ministry, if we're being honest, quite a bit mm-hmm. of students going to multiple youth groups or just not going to our own youth group if you're a part of GBC and just attending a different one because that's where your friends are or there's some aspect of that they do that they like more or whatever. And look, I want kids involved in youth ministry. I want them to be hearing the gospel, but I think there is something for parents to instill in students and students. If you listen to this, of when we make a commitment to, this is my church, this is who I'm doing life with. If we're missing those main opportunities that are designed specifically to reach you where you're at, I don't know how you can like truly be doing life together with those people, right? It's more surface level. We have kids from other youth groups that come to ours, and I make it abundantly clear to those kids, you can come here, but you have to go to your youth group. Like you mm-hmm. cannot miss your youth group. And if you are missing your youth group to come here, I don't want you. I'm not going to tell them I don't want them here, but like, can we talk that out? Mm-hmm. Can we figure that out? Yeah, and I say that for our kids too. There could be a different perspective on that. If kids from GBC are faithfully involved on Sunday mornings and Sunday evenings, but they also want to attend another good gospel youth group, I'm okay with that. Like, mm-hmm. hey, you're hanging out with Christians more and hearing more from the Bible. That's great. But there should be something of, we want to be involved with the people that a lot of the kids in our church, you've grown up in this church, right? And so it's like, there should be people we know there that we've had huge experiences with that we want to do that. And I think if we can do that with our high school, middle school, children's age kids now, that's going to serve them so well when it is time to find their own church, that they're not doing that sample buffet thing of finding different things you want. I mean, we'd say the same thing for our men's and women's ministries or something. Oh, yeah. Like, not to say there aren't other great men's and women's Bible studies or community groups, but like, it would be a little bit weird if you go to the men's Bible study at a different church because I don't know, I don't really like the guys at my church that much. Like, well, do you go to Bible study to get to know them? Like, mm-hmm. you know, well, the guy that teaches there is just so good. He probably is, but I think we're still working our way through God's word together and kind of how Todd put it, we're going through it with people who know us, which makes mm-hmm. such a difference. Yeah. So my encouragement, this is not a scolding, is if you're a parent and you have a student that hasn't really given our student ministry a shot or they're going to a different youth group or they're going to Young Life meets the same time as us, There's something to be said about being involved in the church that is your church with the people that you say, I want to do life with. And it can unintentionally be saying something to those people that like, oh yeah, I'll see you on Sunday. But when it comes to like actually doing life, these are my people or whatever, is like, okay, so like, what does that mean? Or it can also just, again, just kind of breed that, start to breed unintentionally a consumerism model, which we don't see, I think, modeled in the church. So
yeah, thanks.
If that's controversial, you can email mike@gresham.org or todd@gresham.org.
No, man, like I hope the whole point of this podcast is that it really like facilitates and cultivates real life conversation in our church. Like, it's kind of ironic. Are we fueling consumerism by having a church podcast? I hope not. But like, the whole point is that we're actually in relationship doing this whole life together thing. Right. And so I appreciate what you had to say. Going to that level of like detail and specifics can be hard, but I think it's good we lean into, hey, let's actually talk about this. I hope if you're a member at GBC, you know our heart in bringing this up again is not scolding. It's not legalism. It's not trying to build a brand at all. It's for healthy local churches, ours and the other healthy local churches.
Yeah. I'm not trying to make GBC's youth group the biggest and best, or think I'm the only one that can serve the teenagers or whatever. It's, it comes from a place of, with all of our ministries, again, men's, women's Bible studies, whatever too, it's like, well, we love you. And so we want you to be involved with us so that we can get to know you, know how to pray for you, be involved in your life. And, it just makes it more difficult. And it's not just me or the leaders, it's the other people as well, you know, like, and we're youth group is not a separate church from regular, the main gathering. So we, I don't have that philosophy, and we don't as a, as GBC, but it is a different, it is designed to start to show as you become an adult, even more so of what this looks like.
I hope, I know this can be an awkward conversation. So I hope, those who listen to this receive it with the grace in which it's intended, and it promotes real, real conversations. Would love to have conversations with people. And to echo Todd, what you've said, and Jordan, I know I've said it too. I would encourage if someone hears this and like, you know, that's their opinion, dismisses it, or, oh, it's not true of me. Take two steps back and reflect what is best and healthy for the life of the local churches in and around Gresham 30, 40 years from now, if Christ tarries. And I bet if you were to play the long game on this, like what you attract people with is what you keep them with. What appetites are you cultivating? It would be best on a bell curve. There's always reasons why people can leave churches, etc. It'd be best if there was a little bit more generation over generation, a slight percentage increase of people being committed to their own local church and seeing it through for the long run when it's good and healthy and appropriate to do so. I bet the honor of Christ, the unity of the local church in this area would be in a healthier place than it. It is in a good place right now, and it can keep making progress that way. So that's kind of how people hear our heart and where we're coming from. So yeah, cool. Guys, thanks for having this discussion. So life together, not alone. That sounds like a cheesy bumper sticker in some ways. We're like, oh yeah, I read the Bonhoeffer book. I didn't understand all of it, but like two pages. But the idea is to be a good churchman, churchwoman in the local church for the glory of God and thinking about others ahead of yourself. And when we come with that posture, I think church life can be good and beautiful, and it points to Christ. So yeah. All right. If any of this spurs questions, concerns, pushback, whatever, please reach out to me at mike@greshambible.org. And again, would love to have a face-to-face conversation about this. Love you, GBC. Until next time. Thanks.